are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, refined entertainment for a sophisticated audience. Who sometimes enjoy a good fart joke?
The following programming is EI, educational and informative.
Ooh, not really.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Oh, your applause is deafening. Please, it's embarrassing. Please, don't applaud so loud. Oh my God, stop it. A standing ovation for me? Oh my goodness, thank you so much. Thank you. A check for $50,000 for me? Thank you so much. That's really appreciated. Thank you. All right. Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Guess which one I am. I'll be with you for the next half hour. Whatever. I had a dream last night that I was kayaking in Maine. I don't know where else you would kayak. And I was in the state of Maine. I was in a state of disbelief. And I was in the state of Maine and I was kayaking. And in one of those small little kayak things, you know. And I was in some type of a lake, and the kayak tipped over, and I couldn't get out of the kayak, and I drowned to death. Do you have dreams like that, too? What's the difference between getting your feet caught in a kayak and death? What's the difference? There isn't any. I know that summer is a time for camping. I hate camping, so it's not my time, so to speak. I don't like anything that has to do with camping. My mother, during the... stop the music, please. My mother, when I was a child, sent me to summer camp. It was her way of saying thank you for all your time with me during the winter. Now get the hell out of here for at least 2 months, please, and let me live my life. That should be in a greeting card. It really should. So she sends me away the first week of July. She can't wait to get rid of me, and she sends me to a summer camp. And I remember on the first night, in order for us all to know each other, When you're young, they separate. Summer camp, they always separate the boys from the girls because they don't want any stuff going on. They don't want that stuff going on, you know. They don't want your daughter coming home from summer camp. Hey, I'm pregnant. You know, you don't want that. That's not a good thing, especially these days. So anyway, I remember the camp counselors, which are just campers who are a little bit older than you. The camp counselors built a big fire in this clearing in the woods, and all the campers made a big circle around the fire, and they sat there and toasted marshmallows. And I thought to myself, this is not right. This is, what the hell am I doing here? Have I joined a cult? Are we waiting for the spaceship to arrive to take us to another planet where we'll meet our demise immediately through the poison that we have ingested? What am I doing here? Why am I sitting in front of a fire singing songs of cult background? Kumbaya, what the hell does that mean? Drink this poison? I don't know what it means, but I think that's what it means. And then they ask us to go into the woods and find some dirty sticks and take a sugar-coated piece of crap, which is called a marshmallow, stick it at the end of this dirty freaking stick that probably a lot of rodents have already peed upon. Extend the stick into the fire, have the sugar thing turn black in carbon, take it off the stick, put it in your mouth, and lose all sensitivity to taste and smell for another 3 months because you've just burned everything inside of your mouth, including half of your teeth. Children, now take the stick and this burnt thing at the end, put it in your mouth, and you're going to have really a good time. Something tells me that sitting around a campfire with 36 other boys, someone's going to get hurt in a very unconstructive manner. I hated it. I hated it. Then the counselors would tell us scary stories. You don't have to tell me a scary story. This is scary enough. Other boys who haven't quite decided their sexual orientation just yet. Kind of experimenting. I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand it. I mean, I like people, maybe, you know, for 2-3 minutes, but an extended period of time overnight, I don't like people like that. Something wrong about it. Everything was done in large groups. When I went to sleepover camp, where you actually sleep over, in the morning they would send us down to the rec hall or the mess hall, they called it. You don't want to go to a place that's named messy to begin with. And then I'd eat at a table with 12 other boys, and not exactly my fantasy of good times. They somehow take these summer camps and they put them on the same par as a military facility. Yeah, I don't know what that is. At 6 o'clock in the morning, some schmuck was playing reveille over a loudspeaker. I'm 12 years old. I didn't sign up for military action. What the hell's going on here? Some guy walking around with a clipboard. He was apparently the head counselor. Ooh, we have a head counselor now. Walking around with a clipboard telling me when it's time to go swimming and when it's time to play volleyball. Don't tell me that. It's time to get the hell out of here is what it was. And I complained to my parents. I said, I don't like summer camp. It's ridiculous. And they said, I know, but it gets you out of the house for 2 months. There was a lot of love in my family. Anyway, that's my problem. Now, what's your problem? Tell me what your problem is. Look, I don't have time to hear it. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here. I have an interesting guest coming up a little bit later in the program of undeniably entertaining fun. So I hope you'll join me here. Would you like something to eat? Would you like a finger sandwich? I do have plenty of finger sandwiches, most of them from the middle one. It's a joke. Come on, it's a joke. Give me a break. It's not easy doing a show with an audience that doesn't seem to exist. I mean, I know you're there. I can't see you. I can't smell you. I can't look at you. On the other hand, this is not a bad setup. Apparently, switching gears now, going from drive to reverse, apparently in my attic, I live in a house, apparently in my attic, there's a family of mice living up there for free. Now, I don't think they're rats, I think they're mice. What's the difference? Not much. Maybe the size, maybe how disgusting they are, but it's the same animal. There's a family living up there, I think, because at night I hear scurrying going on up in my attic, and I kind of put two and two together, and I figured, it's probably mice. So I call a pest control company. They control pests. And I said, hey, can you do something about my wife? Oh, whoa, oh, that hurt. Oh, that stung. By the way, if you're married and you're a guy, if you got those two things going for you, let me just clue you into something that you should never say as a joke. I'm serious. Listen very carefully. They have this commercial on television for 1-800-JUNK. I don't want to give them any plugs. They're fairly expensive, but it's 1-800-JUNK. If you have any junk in your house, you call them up, they come over, and all you do apparently is just point at the junk, and they'll remove it, and they'll charge you for it, but at least you got rid of the junk. So I call up this place, and I said, my wife is sitting next to me as I'm doing this. I call them up, and I say, do you remove all junk? Yeah, all you have to do is point to it. And I just as a joking thing, I pointed to my wife, and she did not appreciate that joke. She did not appreciate that joke at all. You know, it's not funny, really. Anyway, so I have a family of mice in my attic. So I called this pest control company, and this guy named John called me back. I don't know why I told you his name. It just adds authenticity to the story. And so how you doing, John? Fine, Ron. So what happens here? I got a family of mice up there. And he says, yeah. I said, well, what do you charge to get rid of the mice from my attic? And he says, well, it averages about $350. And I thought, whoa, okay, fine. How does that break down? He says, well, for us to come by, that's $110. And then if we have to put traps down, that's another $50 a trap. And wait a minute. So for you just to come into my house, it's $110 for you to show up. He says, yes, that's if we do nothing at all. It's $110. Oh, wow. What a great job you have. He says, why? You're charging me just for you to show up. He says, yes. So in other words, you come to my house, you do nothing whatsoever, you come to my doorstep, I open the door, and you can literally say, that'll be $110, please. He says, well, yeah, technically, yes. What a wonderful racket you got going here. He says, well, don't get me wrong. We don't just show up and collect $110 and leave. We will also take care of your pest control problem. Oh, that's nice. But wow, $110 just to show up. Yeah, well, you know, we have to drive there, and it's our time that's taken up, and there's the gas money, and, you know, we have to put our kids through college. So, yeah, it's $110 just for us to show up. Wow. I figure I'm going to start a business. I don't do anything at all. I don't take care of your pests upstairs or in your house. I don't remove your junk. I don't do anything at. I don't paint your house. I don't fix your sink. I don't vacuum your. I don't clean your house. I don't do anything. I don't mow your lawn. I do nothing. What do you do? I show up at your door. And you pay me $110, and then I leave. Well, Ron, that's a stupid company. Oh, is it? Or is it? I like that. What do you do for a living, Ron? I show up. What do you do when you show up? Nothing. It's $110. If I show up at places 10 times a day, I can make $1,000 a day just by showing up. If you're not home, I can take a selfie of myself at your front door, mail it to you, and you still owe me $110 because I showed up. But you didn't do anything. I did something. I showed up. Wow. Because, you know, Showing up is at least half of the job. What's the other half? Leaving. And here's a great thing about me that other people don't really do. I show up on time. Well, I guess that is something. Yes, I always show up. If I don't show up on time, you owe me nothing. But if I show up, it's $110. Well, what do you have to do to show? I have to be at your front door. Do you come in the house? No. I just have to show up. That's all I have to do. I'm going to start that business. Do you want to invest in it? It's a pyramid scheme. I'm going to sell you a pyramid in Gaza, the Gaza Strip. It's a lot of casinos there. I'm gonna sell you a pyramid. There's plenty of pyramids in Egypt. I'm gonna sell you one of those. You can't sell me a pyramid, Ron. I know, it's a pyramid scheme. Haven't you ever heard of that? I sell you a pyramid. You turn around and you sell your neighbor a pyramid. Hey, Joe, I just bought a pyramid. You want to buy it? How much? $110. You send me like $20 every time you sell the same pyramid, and I make a fortune and you make nothing. It's almost as good as showing up and getting $110 just for showing up. That's my pyramid scheme. I have just given you two great ideas for businesses, to start your own business. One of them, all you have to do is just call your friends up and sell them a pyramid. The other one, you actually have to get in your car and you have to show up. So, I don't know, it's your choice. You do what you want. I don't know. There's a lot of jobs you can have, you know. I could go into rock removal. Ron, what is that? Well, you have like a pebble in your driveway or a rock on your lawn, and you're afraid that the lawnmower is going to hit the rock and the blades are going to break, something like that. What do? I come over to your house and I pick up the rock and I remove it. Do you take it with you? No, I just throw it in the woods or something, in a garbage pail. That's your job? Yes. And if I don't remove the rock, it's $110 just because I showed up. I don't know. People that are out of work, I don't understand it. I've told the story before on the air. I wouldn't tell it anywhere else. I live in Massachusetts. There was a lot of snow a couple of years ago. Some idiot took the snow, put it in some type of container that was refrigerated, and they charged like $100 because it costs a lot of money to mail snow. And he started selling actual snow from Massachusetts from the snowstorm, and he made a lot of money. Ron, didn't the snow melt? I don't know. Maybe it did. Remember the pet rock? They had that when I was growing up. They used to take rocks off the ground that were free. Rocks are free, by the way. Put it in a box and put a little tag on the rock and named it Mandy or Bob. And then You'd buy the rock, they'd mail the rock to you, you open up the box, there's a rock inside with a little tag on it, with the background of the rock. And this guy made a lot of money, the pet rock. I'm telling you, man, if you're not rich by now, you're missing out. I mean, people are idiots. They will buy anything if it's properly marketed and properly packaged. I'm telling you, man, you're missing out on a lot of money. I don't know. I'm just trying to help out. You know, I'm trying to help the economy in any way I possibly can. I'm going to take a short commercial break. When I come back, my guest will be joining us. And I just have a feeling that you're going to love this guest. But first, this.
We don't get to choose our family names. We're born into them, and some of them are, quite frankly, a little embarrassing. for many, a burden that follows them through life. If you've got an embarrassing last name, you may have thought about having it legally changed, but perhaps you thought it might be complicated and expensive. Well, I'm here to tell you that having your last name legally changed is simple and cost-effective and will take that lifelong burden away in just a few easy steps. Call me today, Attorney Jim Cockwaffle, with the offices of Cockwaffle and Cumstein. We know what you're going through.
I'm speaking to Antonia Murphy. She's written a very interesting memoir, A Dirty Chick, A True Tales of an Unlikely Farmer. Kind of a very interesting thing. Good morning. How are you doing?
Hi, good morning. So happy to be here.
You're out in San Francisco, is it?
I am visiting family right now in California, but ordinarily I live in the north of New Zealand.
Yes. Now, you didn't always live there, as I understand it.
That's right. I grew up in San Francisco.
All right. And then, and you had the regular kind of urban life, I assume?
Yeah, pretty much. Trying to do some art here, trying to do some computers there.
Okay. And then for some odd reason, what came about that you said to yourself, I'm going to change my life and do something totally different?
Well, I'd always had a dream of taking off on a sailboat. So you can see the horizon as you cross the Golden Gate Bridge.
Uh-huh.
So that was always a dream of mine. It wasn't possible until I met my now husband, Peter, who had the boat and had the experience to help me make that happen. In 2005, we took off sailing.
Wow. And, now, you became a farmer. You did the farm thing that a lot of us dream about. We want that kind of lifestyle, I guess, until we try it. But did you always want to do something like that, have your own farm?
Absolutely not. I think I always wanted to be closer to nature.
Yeah.
And I got a lot of that at sea. You know, it's pretty much as close as you can get. Well, about 3 feet from the ocean.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until we'd been in New Zealand for about 5 years that we moved to the countryside for a really good tiny little country school for
mm-hmm.
my son.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we came to be living in a place where we could farm.
Yeah. And were you excited about farming, or were you thinking, oh my God, what's going on?
Yeah, well, let's be clear. First of all, I do not have hundreds of head of cattle. We're not making our living that way.
Right.
But as we found ourselves on a large parcel of land, we sort of started to acquire these animals.
Uh-huh.
First of all, there's a kind of a calf club in New Zealand, which mm-hmm. is similar to our 4-H.
Yeah.
So every year the kids acquire a baby animal, a calf, a lamb, or a young goat,
right.
and raise it. So that was sort of our gateway drug.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just moved on from there to alpacas
yes.
and more cows. And before I knew it, I had about 40 animals.
Yeah, well, you got into the gateway drug. That's what happens, you know. So, and were you writing at that point? I mean, you're an incredible writer, and it's your works have been everywhere. Were you writing at that time?
Well, I started writing articles when we were sailing. I guess it started with a blog because
uh-huh.
I was just doing it for fun, and people started writing to me and telling me that I made them shoot coffee out their noses from
yeah.
laughing. And that made me so happy, I have to tell you. So, so when we got to New Zealand and I had tiny babies, my husband encouraged me to just start treating it like a job, to uh-huh. sit down every day, 3 hours, Monday through Friday, and try to be serious about it.
Yes.
And 6 years later, out comes the book.
Wow. Yeah, it's doing really well. It's interesting. I guess it's vicarious thrills for us, I suppose, in what you're doing. Do you still have that situation?
Absolutely. In fact, from what I understand, just while I was in the United States, two more horses showed up. So
yeah.
I guess now we have horses.
See, so it is growing. It is growing. Do you need intervention, or are you used to this? Is this good for you?
It seems to be going okay. I find I like a certain amount of chaos in my life. So this is definitely not a book that talks about how peaceful and bucolic living on a farm is.
Yeah.
This is more a book that talks about how much manure and how many parasites are involved.
Yes.
But I really enjoy it. And our animals, when they're well taken care of, they really don't require much. Just good fencing, access to water, and they're happy.
That's great. Are you? It's just the two of you and your kids. I mean, who do this?
That's a good point. Actually, I think the best thing we did this year was outfit a spare room so we could have backpackers come through and help us.
There
and right now we have a young English couple staying with us who are just total superstars. And in exchange for a room and board, they help out with the kids and the animals and the land. And that's really key, is getting help, I think.
I mean, you
as with any addiction.
Oh, sir, yes. I have many of my own. But, you know, I didn't have to have a farm to do this. But it goes a little bit further than what you say, because, I mean, it is back to nature. It's not, I mean, I'm sure you buy cheese and milk, but you also, like, get that from your own place, don't you?
Yeah, that's right. And, boy, I'll tell you, the first time I had a glass of raw Jersey milk from the neighbors, it was a total revelation. It was more like a delicious milk smoothie than anything I've ever had in the store. So we buy that stuff, but we also buy it from our neighbors when we can, because they produce it. And I do make my own cheese. I've been having a great time making my own cheese.
Yeah. So you make your own cheese, and yet there's manure all over the place. It's just, I don't know how.
Well, it doesn't always go well. When the cheese goes wrong, there's a sort of 5 o'clock shadow that it starts to sprout that is known as poil de chat, which is cat hair. And basically, you don't want that anywhere near something that you're going to put in your mouth. So, you know, it doesn't always work. Right before coming out to the States this time, I had to pitch a batch of cheese that looked too frightening even for me.
Do you miss the urban life? I mean, here you are in San Francisco talking to us, and you're visiting. Is there something in your body that's going, I miss this?
Yeah, a little bit. I think the dream would be to get to a point where we could spend a month or two out of the year in a big city. Because I do miss the theater and museums and dinner parties with all kinds of people. But really, you know what? One solid month of that is probably about enough for me.
Okay, probably. Well, it's enough for me, but I don't know where else to go is my problem. So this is a book, and it's got all your adventures and misadventures and what it's like to catapult yourself from one lifestyle into another, and a lot of weird things happen that you probably never expected.
Yes, absolutely true. From the very first time I learned that our chickens had leg mites, and then I had to learn what a leg mite is, we encountered a lot of unexpected situations.
Wow. Yeah, and I guess you found poop in your purse at one point?
Yeah, well, luckily I didn't just find it. I had actually put it there. Problem was that I forgot it was there. Not because I have a strange fetish, but because our goat was sick, and the vet told me, hey, I can't diagnose what's wrong with your goat unless I get a fecal sample. So what are you going to do? I had a clean Dijon mustard jar, and I packed it up, and I intended to go to the vet straight away. But I'm a busy mom, and I had other errands to run. And it wasn't until the end of the day that I realized that I had, in fact, been carrying around a jar full of goat poop all day long.
Well, I mean, all right. Do you raise animals? Are they, do you do like chickens and things like that?
Oh, yeah. We have chickens, one homicidal rooster, a whole bunch of ducks at this stage, and then we have sheep, goats, alpacas, and I guess now cows. I mean, yeah, we have cows, and now we have horses.
How do you, without a staff, I mean, how do you deal with these animals and feeding them? And I mean, you do all this, you do this?
Well, I kind of jumped in with both feet last year, and so we got right into breeding the goat and then milking the goat. And that was extremely hands-on, and once you have an animal that is being milked, that's twice a day without fail. You have to go out and do that right now because we just moved to a new place. I kind of dialed it back a little bit, and none of the animals is pregnant.
Uh-huh.
And we don't have any little babies, and we're not dealing with milking. I may get back into that in the future, but when they're not, when you don't have to milk them, really, they just stay in their paddock and eat their grass. They're kind of like charming lawnmowers.
So you don't have to milk cows if you don't want to?
Well, yeah, see, that's the thing I learned. They don't give milk unless they've just given birth.
Oh.
I thought cows just had a switch for milk.
Yeah.
But apparently it's connected to calving.
Oh.
So these are the things you learn.
I had no idea myself. This is fascinating. I think everybody's going to get the book because you're fun to talk to, and it sounds humorous and like a good time. Dirty Chick, True Tales of an Unlikely Farmer. It's out by Gotham. Just came out, I understand.
Yeah, that's right. Just last week.
Beautiful. Hey, best of luck to you. Pleasure talking to you. Sounds like a lot of fun. And have a great, safe trip back.
Oh, thanks so much. It was a pleasure.
Thanks, Antonia.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again on Monday with a brand new program. But until that time arrives, you take care of yourself, and I wish you peace.